This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
When you squander your time, when you waste your time, it back. You know, sometimes you lose $1, you lose $10, you feel rich. In my money, I lost it. You put some money somewhere, after a while you can't find it. Or you get a particular deal and it didn't work out. Or you purchase something and then the item broke. Or something happened to it. And even though it does not incapacitate you financially, even though you still pay, but because there was a burden of financial loss, you feel it. And the reason that you feel it is because you value money. But when time is lost in life, we don't feel it. Because we have not understood the value of time. The hadith which I said in my introduction, or which I may mention of, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are two bounties of Allah. There are two bounties of Allah. Ni'matan. Maghbūrun fīhima kathīrun min al-nās. The majority of people are in deception when it comes to these two bounties. The majority of people don't understand the value. The majority of people don't appreciate its worth. What are those two bounties? As-sihha, the good health. You know, when you have physical strength and you have good health, you think it will last forever until something happens. After a person who's had a simple accident, just broke a hand, nothing major, nothing else for it, nothing life threatening, but now because for 6 weeks your hand is in a plaster, to take a bath becomes difficult. To wear your clothing becomes difficult. To sleep at night becomes difficult. To eat becomes difficult. To drive motor car becomes difficult. Now you understand the worth of having a functioning hand. It's frustrating you when you know a few weeks down the line you're back to normal. A few weeks down the line you're back to normal. So when you have put it down, you don't know what awaits you. You don't know what disease or what sickness may hit you. You don't know which motive and accidents may incapacitate you. So Rasulullah says, value it. The majority of people don't value it. It comes from the minority. Because you spend most of your life chasing money and you compromise your health, then you use the same money to compensate for your health. You work and you stop to the point that you compromise your health. Now that money which you secure, when it's time to retire and enjoy, now you're spending it on a specialist, you're spending it on a doctor, and you're lucky works there, and you go to the bar and you say, like how it is. Small how it is, big check. But that's where the money goes. And the second of the two monkeys that were so lost in the law, I was in the mention of, and for how? Time. Opportunity. It's here and it's gone. It's here and it's gone. On the day of Qiyamah, those people who did not live their life in a way where they value time, they will ask Allah for a second chance. And we know it's a second chance. But Allah will ask them a question. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ They will not give you life. In light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every one of us has to answer a number of questions on the day of Qiyamah before we can proceed. And one of the questions will be Allah says, I gave you life, now you have to account for every second of your life. This is not what they have to do. We have to stand before Allah and we will have to account for every second of our lives. You know, they worry about the government. For every cent they must account. They want to see if they got their share. Did I pay my tax? So you will hire somebody who has the expertise and pay the person in order to ensure that you don't fall foul of the government. You do not end up in the trouble of the authorities of the day. Allah says, remember that time will come when you will stand before me. And there is nothing that's hidden from Allah. Mani hada al-kitab. When the book of Eve are open, everyone will be shocked and the remarkers will be, what kind of a book is this? I thought I could store a lot of information on a small chip or a flash drive. مَا بِهَذَا الْكِتَابَ لَا يُغَافِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Every minute detail is recorded.
بدي موجودة. اقرأ كتابك وتكسر من الاحترام. ريح يسرق وقال بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. So let me step into the power lives you have to come. Time is back. عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما was great Sahabi رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We know he was known to be very meticulous in following the Sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. To such an extent that when Abdullah bin Umar took a journey from Medina to Makkah, he would stop to rest and stand at the spot where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood to rest. So many years later, he was a young boy in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many years later, when he was an old man, he had an entourage of students. They were traveling, and he saw a grave in the distance. And as soon as he saw the grave, as soon as he saw the Kaaba, he asked the entire entourage to halt, to stop. And then he got off his conveyance and he performed to Surah Al-Masalah. So the entourage was mainly the students, and they were very excited. His name gave him some significance in the spot because he was known to meticulously follow the Sunnah of Surah Al-Masalah. So when he completed his Surah Al-Masalah, they asked him, Yahya Muhammad, is this a place where Surah Al-Masalah is stop? He said, no. They said, is this a place where the Mubarak is stop? He said, no. Is this a place where your father Allah stopped? No. So why did you stop? Listen to his answer. Listen to his answer. He said, as you were traveling, and I saw the grave in the distance, Allah put the thought in my mind that whatever is lying in this grave, I don't know who the person is, but whatever the person is, they no longer have the opportunity of performing Surah Al-Salah, even though they may desire to do so. So whilst I am still breathing, and I don't know how much longer I will be alive, let me immediately stop, take the opportunity and perform for the Surah. The greatest reason that you will have is the opportunity that you have to take the name of Allah, and you did not utilize the opportunity to take the name of Allah. Time is life. Time is life. If the name of Allah has said, wasting time is worse than death. Wasting time is worse than death, because death separates you from dunya, and the wasting of time separates you from Allah. Death separates you from dunya, but the wasting of time separates you from Allah. Now my topic is to heard the speaker of 6A, it's about laziness and boredom. And here I am talking about the value of time. Why? Because laziness, boredom and the lack of productivity, what is the consequence of it? The consequence of it is you waste your time. So when you don't understand the value of time, that's when you become lazy, that's when you claim to be bored, and that's when you are unproductive. And as soon as you realize the value of time, then you will appreciate every second that Allah has given you. And laziness and boredom will be something which is unimaginable and unfathomable to you. When you understand the value of time, it is an automatic antidote, it's an automatic cure, it's an automatic prevention from laziness and boredom. Hence, I intentionally focused by making these few points about the importance of time. Time is life. Time is life. Every second that's spent constructively is a second that you live for eternity, because it will bring you reward that you will enjoy in heaven. But every second that is left without it being utilized constructively is a second that will become a liability for you in the world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on, let's get to the next type of laziness. So how do you define lazy? The wife will go into the husband and say, you are the definition of laziness. The teacher will point to a student and say, you are the epitome of laziness. I haven't seen anybody more lazy than you. Get up the Sunday morning when you're in the mood to do anything, the wife is nagging. Do this, and do that, and do that, and yeah. You are lazy. They're talking about marriage. Just to light in the mood a little bit, it's late in the evening or Saturday evening. They say, well, this man, he was very stingy, very stingy, confused about issues, right? They are very stingy, I'm sorry. I've seen some people lazy before. I don't know, it's a laughing on his own. Anyway, his whole life, he gave his wife money. His whole life,
Tanrı. Ne istediği, very tired. You know, sometimes I'm humble. I don't come from here, so you won't know why I'm doing this, but when I come from, I'm sure it's a different way. Some people, Allah has given them very little, but their hearts are big. Right? And some people, Allah has given them so much, but their fists are tight. They look at those people. So that's one category that you understand. Some people, they spend, and others just now, even though they are millionaires. But then look at those people who can spend on others, but they can't spend on themselves. Where I learned from is one man who is known to be probably the richest man in the city. But maybe for the last 10 years, I've seen him on the same roads. He cannot spend. His son drives the latest exotic car, spending as well as money. And the father is still driving at around 1980 something all the time. So some people, that just hasn't given them the ability to spend it on themselves. This man here was one such person. He couldn't spend on himself, he couldn't spend on his wife. Then one day he gets terrible news. And the doctor tells you that you have stage 4 cancer. You only have a limited time. So, after getting the shocking news, he's now becoming intelligible, he's preparing for death. And one day he and his wife are having a moment, he's sitting alone. So his wife tells him, you know, is there any last wish that you have after the college? He didn't love him after all. I mean, you and your husband, the husband, you still love him. And he said, yeah, there is one last wish that I have. After I die, I want you to take my money and to put it in my account. So this woman looks at me and she says, come on, man. Your whole life you gave me nothing and now you want to leave nothing for me. You gave me nothing and you want to leave nothing for me. But anyway, I mean, she got herself into the position because she asked him. So the day he died, as the mentor came to pick up the body and the day she came to the apostle and she put it into the ground. So the other thing is now rebuking her. He said, you have to worry about what he had to say. Firstly, it was King Jesus, second, he was still doing it. And then he's gone now. It is your lawful inheritance for you and your children to enjoy all that he was holding. Whilst he was alive, you didn't enjoy it now. Why did you put it in? He said, no, man. I wrote him a check. He's down there, he can cash it, and he can leave it. Don't mess with the woman. Moral of the story. You say, I didn't make all of these kind of jokes because my mind was just to be inside. The fact is, not every time I make a straight jacket, it was very careful what I say. Or I just go home and it's better. Laziness. How do you define laziness? On the fact that one person defined laziness, and he was talking to a lazy person, he said, I am not lazy. Listen to this. I am not lazy. I am just highly motivated to do nothing. Okay. The serious definition of laziness. I got two that I'll share with you, and I prefer the second one. The first definition of laziness is the desire to be idle, to do nothing, to resist effort, to be in a state of passivity, and of letting things stay as they are. But that's one definition. That's a bit complicated. The second one, this is very simple, straightforward, and to the point. What is laziness? The failure to do what you're supposed to do despite having the ability to do it. The failure to do what you're supposed to do despite having the ability to do it. It's not graduating. Usually you think, well, I'm taking a little break, I'm relaxing, I worked very hard for many months, and therefore I'm entitled. Now listen, I'm going to make this point up front. Relaxation does not equal laziness. You can love machines. You can't flip the switch in the morning and just go and go and go until somebody goes to sleep in the evening. So doing things differently at different times, that is normal. That is required. However, laziness means when you're not doing what you're supposed to do despite having the ability to do it. So it starts off gradually, it happens once off, then it happens a second time, until it becomes a habit in your life. You know what a lazy person is telling us by their actions? They are telling us by their actions that I can, but I won't. I can, but I won't. So that's laziness. What's bothering them? Boredom is certainly a lack of enthusiasm, a lack of interest, and a lack of concern. And boredom flows from laziness. Lazy people are the ones who
First, look at what you're not supposed to look at, then it creates a desire,
people would say once off, yes, I'm a good singer. We don't know. No. Step by step, when you follow somebody's footsteps, you don't know what the love and destination is. You're just following the good marks. But then you end up with that person as well. And we all know that them is where you end up. We are not okay. So procrastination, when you postpone today's work to tomorrow, that's one of the main primary causes of laziness. The second thing is distraction. Distraction. And the biggest source of distraction during the moment. We are all victims. How many times did I get some serious work done? Ping. For what's the thing? And you look. Well, why the amount of time we waste? It's not funny. It's amazing. I mean, it's an amazing tool, right? Previously, I can remember when you used to go for Hajj. If you wanted to phone home, you had to leave the hotel, you had to stand in the queue with a payphone, you had to drop the money and then phone. And at the house, it was like 80. I can remember when my father went for Hajj. And when he phoned, and they were phoned like last week after Juma. And it was like even in the house, because all the old people and the young people and all half of the house phone and they phone. Today, when a person goes for Hajj, he can give you minute by minute comments on WhatsApp. So at any time, you know, they may have to study for the Arafah, they have the day, Sudan, Sweet, Matin, Shurei, Mekisha, everything, you know. But today you go to the Arab, instead of making a selfie. So it's a great narrow, but it also becomes a great liability. It depends on how you utilize it. It depends on how you utilize it. And what you do, you use the smartphone or the cell phone or the tablet or whatever you get to do something that is wrong. That is obvious. But a lot of times, it just distracts you. To such an extent that you come to a Muslim also, in between the Arabica, you step away. What's the status updates? What's happening? Do you have any other time? That you're going to wait for the screen of the world will leave you behind. So distraction beats laziness. Because half an hour's work takes you 2 hours. And if you then get tired, then you become lazy. And then you end up spending so much of time on the mobile, and you get more inclined there, and you leave the world to talk for every while. So that's the second cause. The third cause, poor lifestyle choices. Poor lifestyle choices. You sleep late, all night projecting. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. How much you love me? And the hours are going deep into the night. Now morning time you go to work, you're not productive. You're not focused. You're stealing from your employer's time. You're stealing from your employer's time. You're taking the salary to work. You circulate the number of hours, and you are not working those hours because of your poor lifestyle choice, sleeping late. And doing things at the time that you're not supposed to be doing. Another cause of laziness is exhaustion. And this happens when you have no balance in your life. As a woman, you're looking after your husband, you're looking after your children, you're doing the chores of the house, as a man, door to door, and running from here to there to there, life is about balance. It's time to earn money, it's time to spend with the wife, it's time to spend with the children. No one had more work or more responsibility than someone else than myself. But then we have to balance. When you don't have balance in your life, you become exhausted. And when you are exhausted, inevitably you're going to become lazy. Because even if you do mental work, you need a clear mind, you need a fresh mind, you need to have adequate sleep, you need to have proper food, you need to have the balance in your life. The next cause of laziness is indecisiveness. Each one of us, I think we know at least one such person. The one who talks, has a world of ideas, but the can't put anything into action. They can't put anything into action. They're only thinking, but they think either too slow, or as the meanings they say, paralysis of analysis. They're analyzing too much. You know, if I do it this way, this will be the consequence. If I do it that way, this will be the consequence. If I take this route, then we're not traffic. If I take that route, the speed level is what's needed, and I get that car started and move. Either this route or that level, but you didn't get to your destination. So some people suffer from this, paralysis of analysis. They're always looking at, you know, this, but this option, and that is not that option. Or others say, the paradox of choices. When you do too many choices in life, you get more confused and you don't know which way to go. All of us who are married will understand this. When the wife says, what must I wear? What must I wear? But I listen to This dress is the right color to the times. That dress is fitting nicely, but it's not the right color. For the function, I'm not going to blend it for the team. You like it. Keep your mouth closed, I have let you go. So paralysis of analysis. I had something to say that indecision is the thief of opportunity. Indecision is the thief of opportunity. Most of your mundane actions, meaning your day-to-day actions, you must make the decision within 5 seconds. Otherwise, you're spending too much of time unnecessarily. Sure, make the decision in the library, you make it hard, but your day-to-day decisions, what am I going to do first? Which route am I going to take? What am I going to wear? Within 5 seconds, make the decision. Otherwise, you're going to become indecisive and that's going to be laziness. The next reason is lack of motivation. You don't have a passion for what you're doing. Then, lack of self-worth. You see, today we watch so many movies and read too many novels. So we think we are nothing and everybody else is something. But every believer is worthy in the eyes of Allah. Every believer has those standings with which they have come to this world. And every one of those standings is valuable. So each one of us are billionaires. Because if somebody comes and says, I'll give you millions, give me 1 year from your life, you won't be willing to bargain. So you must never stand for a contract to think you're worthless because you don't have a profile or you don't have a status or nobody recognizes you. Another cause of laziness is especially children who are irresponsible. And why are they irresponsible? When their parents bring them up, they smother them with love. They do everything for them to the point that the child becomes lazy. The child doesn't even know what it means to live the spoon, what it means to wash the plate, what it means to iron a pair of clothes, because the parents have done everything to make the child lazy. And the last reason that I want to touch on is when you have too much to do. When you have too much to do, then you feel overwhelmed. You see, there's so much to do that will start. So that's also one of the causes of laziness. Let me just share with you another quote. They say, laziness is nothing more than the habit of resting before your time. Laziness is nothing more than the habit of resting before you are tired. So, on the one hand, in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have those people who are lazy, who are lethargic, who are bored with life. They are not productive, and life is passing them by. Life is passing them by. They're wasting time. And when you're wasting time, listen to what I'm saying. If you're wasting time, you are wasting your currency of investment in life. You are wasting your currency of investment in others. Because Allah has given you the stipulated number of seconds for which you will live. Every second should be utilized to invest in your life. And when you're wasting it because of laziness and boredom, you are wasting the currency of investment in life. And as a woman, because of all the laziness, the world has left us behind. We have become dependent on others. Militarily, technologically, economically, in every aspect, we are dependent on others because they have understood the value of life and they have worked hard. So that's the one part, right? That's the one group. The other group of people, this is interesting, and I'm going to, I just give you the address for a moment, but I had one of the other day use this phrase, so I also use it. He said it's a constructive digression. It's a constructive digression. The other group of people, it's not part of the discussion, but I think it's important to mention, are those people who work hard, but in the wrong way. And there are many such people amongst us. They work very hard, but they are motivated by materialism. Their approach to hard work is consumers. So they're just chasing money. They don't have a great purpose. They don't have a great goal. Some psychologists refer to it as a heuristic treadmill. You know, those who want jump, the answer is the treadmill. You run and you run and you run until you're stretching and your knees are popping and you're still on the same spot. Like, you know, you're not making any progress in terms of distance. So, the heuristic treadmill is that kind of a life where you're chasing and you're chasing and after a while you say, okay, I'm clear. In terms of the values of my life, in terms of the purpose of my life, I make progress, although I earn a lot of money. Such people, they work very hard, but because they have no
contributing to the community, their homes become like hotels. They don't get home to have a quick meal and catch a lot of sleep in the house. To share the same roof, husband and wife are sitting in the same bed. Husband and wife are sitting in the same bed. But if the wife wants to make her husband laugh, she can't tell him the joke she was watching the joke. She can't tell him the joke she was watching the joke. So that's what happens when you get caught in the rat race of life. And then you come home so frustrated that the people you love the most end up being the worst. So on the one hand, you have those Muslims who are lazy and the world is leaving behind. But then you've got those Muslims who are working hard but for dunya only, with a consumerist approach. And they are only accumulating wealth. They're not bringing any value to their lives, nor are they bringing any value to the ummah. Remember one point. Being worthy does not necessarily mean you're being productive. Productivity is when it is a purpose, not when it's pointless. And the great purpose is whatever I'm achieving in this world does benefit in this world as well as in my after. It does benefit me as an individual, but it does also benefit the ummah, and it does also benefit humanity. When you have that kind of a purpose, then you have balance in your life. And then you will do things with the right motive and the right intention, and then you will prevent and protect yourself from all these mystical consequences that I mentioned. Anyway, coming back to the aspect of the topic in the next business. There are two aspects that are from the natural. One is some tips, and then the other is some solutions. And you will understand the difference between the tip and the solution. But anyway, I mean, the jokes are coming to my mind now only for medical nature, right? So let me share another one with you as we go along. They say there was this man who was lazy, right? So he goes to the supermarket to buy a can of peaches. You know, he gets these little peaches in a can. But he was too lazy to stand in a long queue to pay for it, so even though he had money, he just put a can of peaches in his pocket because his wife was sending a message, buy peaches and come home. So he put the can of peaches in his pocket and walked out. Didn't pay for it. He got caught. He was too lazy to stand in the long queue, so he got caught. Now he has to appear before the judge. So he tells his wife, if you come with me, maybe you'll see a lady there if she wasn't pathetic. So the judge looks at him, why didn't you pay? He said, Your Honor, the truth is this, I was just too lazy to stand in the long queue. Okay? Now the judge is thinking, he's not a criminal, he's a first-time offender. It was just laziness. What punishment for you? What's the law in you? So the judge asks him, okay, tell me, how many peaches were there in the can? He says, six. So the judge says, okay, six really good for you. So the wife says, Your Honor, we also saw one single of peas. So laziness can result in many more consequences than we sometimes can envision. So what are some of the tips to overcome laziness? Whether you consider yourself a lazy person or not, there's always room for improvement, right? The first is get organized. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extremely organized in his life. Sometimes we look at a person's office, we look at a person's room, everything is cluttered, thrown around. That is contrary to the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it has an impact on your psyche, it has an impact on your mind. The second thing, and this is very important, have a timetable. Have a schedule. Have an itinerary. If you look at the great scholars in Islam, they achieved a lot in a small amount of time. Why? When they woke up in the morning, they knew exactly this hour I will do this, that hour I will do that. And if they found a small gap in between, they would utilize it in a constructive way. Somebody told me recently, they saw Shaykh Islam, Nabi Usmani, Hamidullah, and Haram. This is what we call being organized. From the time he puts on his shoes, at the door of the Haram, remember which hotel you stay in, you go to a distance to walk. So even if your hotel is the one right in front, it's a quick 5 to 10 minute walk. As soon as he puts his shoes on, he takes out the Quran and he reads Quran from the time he walks from the Haram door to the door of his room. When your life is organized, when you have a timetable, when you're working with a plan, then you value your time and you don't become lazy. And working with a plan doesn't mean you won't rest. It doesn't mean you have to chat with the wife. It doesn't mean you won't play with the children. All of that is part of the Sunnah of Rasulullah. But even when you relax, it will relax constructively. Your life will not just be one
whole field of organization. Some people say, I'm keeping up with technology. I live my life in the mode of autopilot. I'm keeping up with technology. I live my life in the mode of autopilot. Another thing, break down your tasks into smaller tasks. So don't look at a whole long list of things you need to do for the day and say, hey, another thing, break it. Break it apart. Let me do the more important things first. Generally, all of us have problems. When you look at the list, there's five things to do. The last thing is the hard one, so we leave that one for us. But by the time you come there, you don't have energy. You can't really do the most difficult one first and break it up into smaller tasks. Another very good tip to avoid or to overcome laziness, think of the consequences and things that think of the benefits. Think of the consequences and think of the benefits. That what will be the benefits of being not being lazy in this particular situation, and what will be the consequences if I am lazy? When you visualize that, visualization has a very powerful effect. Some people say that if you want to overcome laziness, you actually sit down and imagine yourself doing it. Imagine yourself doing it. Imagine yourself doing it with enthusiasm and successfully. Then you start doing it. So if you watch this, you watch the videos. For a long time, it's still visualized. And I'm cleaning those plates and it's sparkling and I'm really twinkly and I'm putting them all nicely and I'm so happy. Now you can generate some positivity and then you go and get it done. Another one is that create an intentions journal. You know, today the non-Muslims are doing all of these things, but these teachings are in our deep. I saw the plane, man, who was consciously writing down his goals for the year. The thing is here, this is what I want to achieve. How many of us do that? Whereas we have a better and deeper understanding of the value of time. What are my goals for today? What are my goals for this week? What are my goals for this month? They talk about intentionality. When you know what you want to do, when you know what you need to do, when you remind yourself with regards to what you need to do, it makes it easier to get it done. It makes it easier to get it done. And the last one that I wanted to share is break monotony in your life. Break monotony in your life. Don't do the same things all the time. Allah Almighty, so many centuries ago, one of you was walking in the middle of the night with a man with a lantern. And somebody asked him, what are you looking for? They asked him, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for a human being. I'm looking for a human being. The standard of logical age, this machine age, has made us machines. Every morning we get up, we do the same thing until the evening, and the next morning we get up and we do the same thing. The monotony of routine, day in, day out, you bring the same thing. It has an impact on you psychologically and spiritually. You need to break it up a little bit, break the monotony. Spend some time in the natural environment. We spend a lot of the time by concrete. We spend a lot of the time by building, by machines, by steel. Go up among the trees. Go near water. Read a book. Take a walk. Do things differently to break the cycle of monotony. There's one anecdote that I always like to share. They say there was this man, he got a job as a woodpecker. And he went the first day to work, and his boss went, okay, this is how much we're going to pay you for every tree that you chop. So the first day he chopped 15 trees. 15. And the boss told him at the end of the day and said, never in the history of my business has anybody chopped 15 trees in one day. So what happened to this man? Exactly what happened to you and I in the same situation. The next day he came earlier, he worked harder, he left later, but he only made 13 trees. So you know, he said, oh, maybe even today was a little fast. That's why. Too bad. Even though I worked harder. And every day subsequent to that, he came earlier, worked harder, and left later, but the number of trees that he was chopping was getting lesser. Until the day when he only made 3 on the whole day. And he comes to the boss and says, here's my letter of resignation. I don't want to tell you. I don't have an answer as to why it's not working out for me. Maybe I'm not coming up for this job. But he's my employer, was not just a boss, he was a leader. It's a different topic for another and you're not sharpening it so it's not having an effect and it's resulting in you having to work out of it, that is the summary of all that. Everything that you achieve, you flip the switch, it does the same thing. We're working very hard, some of us, but in a way that is comfortable. So break the monotony. So you get those who need to break the monotony, and you need those who need to get up and get going. The lazy guys, and the lazy bodies. So one father calls his son, it was really lazy. And he said, "My son, you are so lazy that even if they gave you an award for your laziness, you send somebody else to get up." Even if they give you an award for your laziness, you send somebody else to get up. Now, as we wind up the discussion, let's talk about some solutions. The tips are the solutions. And this is really tough, so let's keep the jokes aside. Then we can have a little talk to each other. This is the crux of what I want to share with you this evening. In terms of an antidote for laziness, but also in terms of a recipe for overall success. So even if you're not a lazy person, this is relevant to you, it will improve your life not only in dunya, but in akhirat as well. The first thing, you need to understand what is your purpose in life. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُمْ جِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I have created you to be my servant, to be my slave. Now, when we use the word slave, there's a negative image that falls in the mind. You think of an African in chains, we put on the ship, and we brought from Africa to America, right? But the word slave is Arabic word. The Arabic word, ah, it has a very positive connotation. Very positive. It means that when you make yourself the slave of Allah, you liberate yourself and you free yourself from slavery to everything and everyone else. That's what Allah SWT said. If you do not become the slave of Allah, you will definitely become the slave of someone or something else. And if you truly want to be liberated, if you truly want to be free, then you need to become the slave of Allah. And once you become the slave of Allah, then no matter what you do in life, you are conscious that Allah is watching you. Even in terms of doing it, Allah is watching me and is doing to the best of my ability. I am just doing it in a way that is pleasing to Allah. I am just doing it in a way which is in alignment with the values of Islam. So you become self-accountable. Nobody needs to watch you to see whether you are utilizing your time correctly or not. You know that Allah is watching you, so you regulate yourself. So that's the first solution to laziness in specific and to being successful in life in general. Understand your purpose. Understand your purpose. The second thing, psychologists today say, if you want to be successful, Kofi has written a book where he talks about the 7 tips for success. And one of these 7 tips is this, that you must start with the end in mind. You must start with the end in mind. As Muslims, we know very well it's not that we never realize. When they were teaching us and telling us, what did they teach us? آمنت بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر. Why is the constant focus on Akhirah? Why does the Quran talk so much about Akhirah? Because Islam wants you to start your life with the end in mind. Like my colleague, the previous speaker said, don't worry about the 5 years that will be king as much as you worry about the many years when you will make the jungle. So when you live your life in this world, but Akhirah is your priority and objective, then automatically you overcome laziness and you become successful person. You understand? يَبْنَا أَلَدَمْ Allah says to Sarafana, قَلَبْتُكَ الْعِبَادَتِ فَلَا تَلْعَبْ I have created you with a purpose, don't play off. Don't mess around. Life is too valuable and you only live once. The second aspect, in terms of solutions, and the key point, this dunya is not this Christ. We tend to think, many of us, we notice this, many Muslims, in the masjid in our age, they perform their salah with a lot of motivation, with a lot of enthusiasm. They come early, they leave late, they're very dedicated. But in terms of dunya, they're hurting. In terms of dunya, they're mediocre, they're average. And that's wrong. The Quran does not condemn the dunya. The Quran does not condemn the dunya. Understand this point. It's a fine point, but an important point. The Quran condemns when you make the dunya your life and priority. Quran talks about halal dunya, not dunya. Dunya is very valuable because dunya is where you invest in your heart. And dunya must not be halal. Dunya, as much as it is significant to Akhirah, it is the opportunity to invest in your Akhirah. So whatever a Muslim, no matter what you do, you're doing with accidents. One of the greatest antidotes to the prevailing sentiment of Islamophobia in the world today is show that Muslims can excel on every front. With the growing age of Islam, we will reduce the books of history. But if you read those books of history, Muslims were not only in the forefront theologically or spiritually. They were in the forefront of medicine. They were in the forefront of engineering. They were in the forefront of innovation, invention, technology. That's when they were independent and the rest were dependent on them. And they left in the way that was aligned with the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think peace and tranquility, justice and serenity prevailed in the world. Today we talk about the glory days of Islam. We talk about the problems of the Ummah. The problems of the Ummah will never be resolved until you and I in our individual capacities get off our behinds and start becoming productive and do what we do with excellence. Because your conduct is what talks to people about Islam. Sahaba did not conquer the world with the sword, nor did he conquer the world by taking the Quran and shoving it up people's noses and saying, read, no. They did their work, whether it was playing or whatever it is, in such a remarkable way, with such a degree of excellence, that automatically drew people to Islam. Automatically dispelled all the notions that were perpetuated by the propaganda machines of the day. So dunya is one of the spies. You've got a job, do the best that you can at your job. You've got a business, do the best that you can at your business. Obviously within the parameters of deen. Inna Allah akata man ihsana ala kulli shay. Do it in a way that exudes a piece of excellence. It's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. The Nabi Muhammad says, Anas radiallahu anhu, let's listen to this verse. That if Qiyamah is here, if you have been told that in 5 minutes' time you're going to be Qiyamah, and you're about to plant the tree, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, plant the tree and then raise Qiyamah. Plant the tree and then raise Qiyamah. And that is the greatest antidote towards the terms of laziness. The next aspect of solution that aligns to the way you can imagine was up is Salah. The problem with us is we try and fit Salah into our schedule, we don't develop our schedule around the time of Salah. Salah is a physical day. When you determine your schedule and when you design your schedule around your Salah, you're so much harder than you design. Today, everyone is doing Dhaba, you know, everyone is doing crazy about yoga. And meditation. People that yoga and meditation, the spirituality, the peace, and the tranquility that you get in the Salah is remarkable. I'll share with you very quickly, you know, say, look at the times of Salah, how it brings balance in your life, and how it brings ritual and habit into your life. You read Fajr Salah, what's the benefit of having Fajr at that time? It helps you to get up early and to get going early. And to get going and to take his message from Allah. Now, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi writes a book, The 5 AM Club. And in his book, he makes the argument that the successful people of this dunya are those who wake up early. They tell you, by Salah, come 1400 years ago, and Bilal and Bilal was saying, As-salamu alaykum bin al-nawm. That's the 5 AM Club. He's saying, so Obama used to wake up 4 o'clock every morning, right? And he became president. The successful CEOs, they work 16, 18 hours a day. They get up at 4, they get up at 5, and they get going. You and I, we get up at 4, we get up at 5, we prostrate before the Master of all creation. We prostrate before Allah, and I will take that spiritual energy. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah is the most in the early hours of the morning. Then you get going. Then when you start to get tired, Allah gives you Zuhr Salah. When your day is about to wind out, you have Asr, which gives you the last boost of energy to be productive in the remaining hours of the working day. When it's time to wind out, then you have Maghrib. When it's time now to conclude your day of spiritual knowledge, then Allah has to reach out. Today, the experts are writing that when you have routine and habit and vision in your life, it creates stability in your life. We already have that in the 5 days Salah. After every few hours, the Salah pulls you into the masjid, it replenishes your energy, it injects spirituality and it sends you back into the dunya so you can achieve. So you can optimize on the time which is the most valuable asset. The next solution is wudu. Wudu, we know that Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has encouraged us to be perpetually in the state of wudu. Wudu is a great depression and antidote to boredom and laziness. You're feeling lazy, stand up, make wudu with all of your students and mustahabat, and then see how it leads to liberation. I mean, wudu has the effect of removing sin from your life. And automatically, it's going to be
in the houses, in the mountains. Yet, Buddha Aishanam said to them that if you make istighfar, while the citizen of them, Allah give even more strength. So if you want more family business, you want to be successful in life, make istighfar. Make dua. Dua should not be a crutch. When you make dua, you step back home. But when you make dua and you only have protection, then your mundane activities and your activities of dunya have a spiritual element. You want to take the journey for business. It's got nothing to do with deen as such. When you make dua, Allah will be easy. Allah will not be barakah. But the rest of you bring Allah into the equation. Makes you much more productive. Then follow the sunnah. You know, they say, if you sleep on the right hand side, you have a better sleep when you wake up refreshed. Today, what are the big signs is telling us? We're 1400 days ago, we were told, follow the sunnah is an antidote to laziness. It helps you to become more productive in your life. And lastly, volunteer your time. You know, the message is saying, you're not going to do it, get involved in some community projects. Leave that gadget. Put it on side for a moment. Because the greatest happiness in life is when you bring happiness to others. The greatest happiness in life is when you bring happiness to others. They talk about social energy. It brings social energy when you give your time. It's much easier to give your money than it is to give your time. The machine people will tell you, organizations will tell you, go to a mentor and say, yes, my contribution. You say, which work the dead of is in a, that is the lens of the heart. But when you give that, it brings a lot of happiness to your life. Let me conclude by saying this, brothers. A Muslim, a believer, ought to be motivated, passionate, focused, disciplined, and productive. Otherwise, you will never be successful individually, and you will never be successful as a woman. Remember this. You live but once. Make every second count. Laziness will breed more laziness. Activity will breed productivity. Do it now. Do it now, because sometimes later never comes. Do it now, because sometimes later never comes. I'll leave you with this thought. The 30th